It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
All right, we are live with Golden State Hoop, our combined Warriors and Valkyries podcast. We are at the end of the season of the Valkyries and the right in the middle of the WNBA playoffs. And then we are about to kick off, I believe it's the 29th, I believe, is when the Warriors open up camp for Media Day. So that is coming shortly. And we'll talk about some Valkyries. Brian listened to the exit interviews. We'll talk about what the players think. They have a lot of unrestricted free agents, by the way. So as we've been saying, this team could look very different next year. We'll talk a little bit about whether or not they might go big game hunting in the free agent market. On the Warriors side, you have to talk about JK. D-Day is coming for the decision. Decision Day is coming for Jonathan Kuminga, whether or not he accepts the qualifying offer. That deadline is October 1st. I know his agent's been out there in the podcast. How come he didn't come on with us? I guess we didn't ask him. But and then we'll do a little fun poll that I saw Tim Bontemps did, and I want to get Brian's reaction to some of these questions. But first, I've mentioned in the past, mostly on the Thompson to Clark podcast, that if you send us a review, a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, we will read it and we will give you a shout out. So this one is Valkyries related, so I decided to save it for this podcast so that we can shout out Jennifer in Berkeley, who gave us a 5-star, says, love the Valks coverage, great Valkyries coverage, thanks. So thank you very much, Jennifer in Berkeley. We really appreciate that. We are happy that people enjoy the Valkyries conversation. So I guess we can kick it off with our Valkyries discussion, and we'll talk exit interviews. All right, Brian, you said you listened to like an hour's worth of exit interviews. I think it was on like Reddit or something, right?
No, it was on YouTube by Bay Area Sports Rap.
So they just, how are they? They just recorded it? Like what happened? How did they do it?
Just the whole thing, and they just came in and out. And questions were asked, and then it was like a pair, usually like a group of two, or I don't think there was a trio. I think it was only two or one person. I believe Veronica was the only one that was one person. I don't think Kayla did one. Maybe she did one when they announced her season-ending injury that I just wasn't paying attention to a while back. But everyone, all the players did one, except for Kayla in what I watched. And then I also on the way home threw on like the front office one. And so I got through Natalie's, but I'm still like watching Ohema's. I want to see if, oh, it looks like Jess has one too that I haven't gotten to.
So what were some takeaways from your listening?
I mean, I don't think anyone would be all too shocked from the responses they heard. I think, you know, players super grateful, lots of smiles on faces. I think that it just kind of continued to solidify what like the culture of this team is. And I mean, I was kindly maybe more paying attention for like offseason plans, which is a question that was asked to every single player, seeing if anyone would confirm Unrivaled. And only Monique did in the exit interviews, but we just learned today that also Veronica and Kate will be participating. I think we expected Kate. I think we still expect Tip, but we'll see with Tip. But Monique, Veronica, Kate, and potentially Tiffany Hayes for four Valkyries in Unrivaled.
So when it came to the exit interview stuff, like, I would be really interested in a vet like Tip and what she thought about, like, some of the things that we were wondering, like, do facilities matter? And we know that a lot of practice facilities are being built right now, like they're in construction. The Warriors, we, at least from everything that we've been told, they're like a first run organization, Warriors and Valkyries. And like, does that matter to someone like Tiffany Hayes? Tiffany Hayes is a WNBA champion. She's played, she's retired and then come out of retirement to play basketball. And I wonder, because she would have a lot of expertise around, you know, which orgs might be, maybe she wouldn't want to play for versus this one, which it seems like, I think someone had asked her and she said absolutely, or something like a one word answer, that she would love to come back. She is also an unrestricted free agent. So yeah, I'd just be interested in her thoughts based on this version of where we're going with the WNBA, if that stuff matters to her.
Yeah, I feel like when you're an unrestricted free agent, it's like interesting on how they're going to talk about the organization that does not hold their contract rights going into the offseason. But I think she like said everything without, and you know, she's, I guess you said that she said absolutely, but I think she said as many good things as you could say about an org without being under contract. Like, I would almost guarantee, she might have even said it, but I can almost guarantee that the facilities matter to her, being someone who was in Atlanta most of her career, and you know, probably didn't have that level that the Valkyries have in Vegas for 1 year. Like, I'm almost certain that this stuff matters for her, especially, you know, she's, I think, the oldest on the team, mid to late 30s would be my guess, just because I think I've checked her basketball reference a couple times.
She's not a WNBA champion. I thought she was, but she came back to help Vegas and they did not win the title that year.
Yeah, they lost to New York in it was last year. They lost to New York before they went to the finals.
I screwed that one up.
Yeah, Temi was pretty funny during hers. I think someone asked the question if like the Lynx were a rivalry, and she was like, you know what, we lost to them six times and we didn't beat them once. So I don't know if I'd classify that as a rivalry, but she was really funny. I was mainly just paying attention for the offseason stuff. But
Tip is 36, by the way.
Yeah.
So Veronica Burton obviously got the accolades most improved. We were very hopeful, and probably not that we had any sort of idea, but it just was kind of expected that she would be invited to play in Unrivaled. And she was. She was one of the people. And she said that she hates raviolis, which I guess took on a little bit of a, became a meme a little bit, taking shots at raviolis. And then, so Billings, and then Kate are the three. So you think Tip could be a fourth, and that's probably going to be it for the number of current Valks that'll play in the league?
Yeah, well, Tip played last year, so it just wouldn't shock me if she played again this year. I know it's not, you know, confirmed. I thought it was, but it sounds like it's not. But during her offseason plan, she was going to go play overseas. And then she had said like she was going to focus on like her and her brand. Mm-hmm. I know she's been hanging out a lot with Ronnie 2K. I don't know if you've seen that, but he's from the Bay, and he has like his own little clothing shop called Levels, which he's hosted an event at that I was like looking to get tickets, but I was like, oh, all the free reservations are out of stock, so I didn't go. But she seems to, you know, along the clothing line stuff, it seems like that's what she's very interested in. But I think Unrivaled is for sure still an option. It sounds like some of these leagues can kind of flow into it, because Monique's going overseas I think she's in Turkey right now. I don't know if that's where she's playing, but then she's going to do Unrivaled. So she's going to do two leagues, which is, you know, pretty wild. You know, most of the American players, I guess I don't know the percentage, but I'd imagine most of them are just kind of just doing Unrivaled. And then a lot of the European players are just doing the Euro season.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I wonder if Monique, being a player who got some visibility this year, being on the Valkyries, and she played some really strong minutes, I wonder if that raised her price overseas for when she went back, or I wonder if that stuff is just locked in.
I hope so. But I know some of this stuff is like they've already signed a contract. Like, I think Tip already had a deal going into her team, just because I felt like I saw a graphic where whatever team she plays for overseas posted a graphic of like who the roster was, and Tip was already on it. And I was like, oh, I thought she was going to play Unrivaled, but I guess she could still do both. But yeah, I'm sure, like, you know, of course, just like in the league where if you play well, you get rewarded. But some of these things might have multi-year contracts. But I think Monique played in China last year.
And depending when she plays, because Unrivaled doesn't start till January 5th. So she's got a few months now if she's playing now.
Yep, exactly. I think that's what's happening. I think she went straight to Europe, I believe. I don't know for certain if she's playing in Turkey. I just saw her Instagram story and it said she was in Turkey. Mm-hmm. But I know Carla went straight to Europe, to Spain. Chechi, I think she might be playing in the Italian league. And then Janelle, I believe, is playing in the Turkish league as well. So it makes sense that Monique's there right now for that league, because Janelle's playing in it too. Janelle was in Italy last year, but I think she's playing in the Turkish league this year. So those players are already gone. But did you see that there's actually a lot of players? I think it's a Mihir, Burton, Kate Martin, and Caitlin Chen. And there's one more. It might be Kyla Charles. I'm not entirely sure who the last person was, but they're all in Cancun right now.
Oh, wow.
Like vacationing. And Amihir's like kind of like the funny one of the group. Like, she posts like funny TikTok. She's got like a good sense of humor. And her Instagram story was them cheer, like doing a cheers in Cancun. And it said Cancun on three.
That's pretty funny. 1, 2, 3 Cancun.
Yeah.
So Unrivaled, I'm kind of interested in what I will think of Unrivaled this year after having watched a full WNBA season where I watched every single Valkyrie games, and you see the intensity in all of these games and how hard they're playing. And Unrivaled is great, but there isn't any prestige to it right now because it's so new. There's no geography involved. It is a player-driven league. So I don't know how you build that in necessarily, unless it's, you know, Rivals. Like, can you get Rivals to, which is what we are hoping for in the WNBA finals, which we'll talk about in a second. But I'm trying to figure out what is going to make me watch more Unrivaled this year. I loved that one-on-one tournament thing that they did. I made sure to watch that, or at least most of it, because it was like in different, like, I can't remember what got recorded and what didn't get recorded. Mm-hmm. But like, just like, oh, the random vinyl versus the roses or whatever, right? Like, there's like, those names don't really mean anything. So I want, you know, what could they do to make these games a little bit more interesting and meaningful?
I mean, I think it kind of boils down to like just sports allegiance. Like, I followed the WNBA, but I definitely didn't like it as much without my own team. You know, like, I didn't want to really pick a temporary team because I knew the Valkyries were coming even before they were announced. I was like, I know they're coming.
Yeah.
I told my friends, like, this is happening, like, you know, multiple years before it actually happened. So I just didn't want to pick a temporary team because I knew it was happening. But, you know, in the Unrivaled sense, you could pick your club. But also, I think maybe I'd be more interested to watch this year because we actually have players that we watched in the Valkyries now going to Unrivaled, whereas the Unrivaled season had already started, or I'm trying to remember if it had already started, or maybe it had was just about to start when we started getting Valkyries. So
yeah, I don't think we knew Kate was on the Valkyries yet, did we?
Well, if Unrivaled started in January, wasn't the expansion draft in December? So I guess we would have known with Kate. Yeah. But the thing is with Unrivaled, like, I had picked my club.
Yeah,
I picked the Lunar Owls, and then the expansion stuff happened. I was like, oh, I guess I have to switch my allegiance to the Laces. And then we got Tiffany Hayes, and she was also on the Laces. So, like, that's two Valkyries on the Laces. But this time, we'll actually, like, have you know, stuff going into it where it's like, okay, whatever team Veronica's on, I'm probably going to be a fan. Same with everyone else. But I think Veronica's the one who I'm kind of rallying behind and whatever team she's on.
I wanted hats like kind of like this, but they only had dad caps. I'm not a big dad cap fan for podcasts specifically. So hope maybe they'll have more merch this year, and then you can really a t-shirt and a hat, and then you kind of get fired up for it. So
one thing I thought, were you going to talk at all about the expansion draft? Was that on the doc?
I mean, we can. I was going to talk a little bit about the free agents that they have an unrestricted free agent. We can talk about the expansion draft.
I think that kind of goes hand in hand because that is like has to do with like protections, and you know they're not going to protect any unprotected free agent. Now, when I had initially said that, you know, a couple months ago of who the maybe six or seven that it'd be to protect, and we don't have the rules yet, so we don't even know the amount of players. But I had initially said Kayla Thornton, and then seeing her contract status, I'm like, oh, it's probably not going to be Kayla. It'll probably be Chechi or Ileana in her spot for protection. But I think Natalie said something that I had seen on Reddit that she didn't say, but she didn't not say. Mm-hmm. And she had said, like, you know, we don't even have the rules yet. We don't know how many we can protect or if we have to protect any at all. And then she kind of stopped herself. And I had seen something on Reddit where I guess previous expansion teams were exempt from the following.
Oh, that's interesting.
Expansion draft. So it sounds like they have that in mind, that that's a potential, but no one knows the rules yet. So obviously best case scenario for the Valks is that if we're not involved in the expansion draft at all, you know, we don't have, you know, the bad contract that maybe we'd want to offload in the expansion draft. Everyone's a free agent.
Does anyone have a bad contract in WNBA?
Well, no, because everyone's basically on expiring. So
Natalie and Ohima are very good at not saying something and also not saying something. Like,
yeah,
they're really good at making sure that the message that they want out there gets out there. So speaking kind of about so the free agents, the unrestricted free agents who they can go anywhere once free agency starts. Tammy Fagbenley, Tiffany Hayes, Kyla Charles, Monique Billings, and Kayla Thornton. So,
To stop you, there's the core thing. So, they don't all get to go exactly where they want to because
is there going to be the core thing when the new CBA is drawn up?
I would think so. I think there will be. I just think that I feel like the players are pushing so hard, as they should, but I feel like they're pushing so hard for the increased salary. And you've told me this, that like CBA negotiations are like, you give me something, I give you something, you know, the players association versus the owners. And if the players are pushing so hard for this thing that they should most definitely get, I just wonder what other things they might be giving up. And, you know, I don't think that the core thing is that like much of a stress on their minds where like, I'm sure they don't love it, but I don't know if it's enough to like put that as a thing to say, we want this and then we'll give you 10 extra games that we'll play. You know, like, I don't know if that those line up versus, you know, they're pushing so hard for the salary thing.
I wonder why they just don't mirror NBA rules. And I would love to hear from somebody who doesn't actually like the way that the NBA rules work, but it just seems that the rules, if they're universal, then everybody sort of understands them. And then it's really just about getting the salaries. You know, I think people really think like these salaries are going to go through the roof. And I think they will gradually increase. But I don't think we're going to see Asia Wilson making $15 million next year. I don't think it's going to be that crazy. Not crazy compared to what it is now. I think eventually, if the WNBA, if the revenues keep going up and the tickets and you add more teams and it just kind of grows like that, I definitely think that is in the future. But they're not even at $300,000 a year yet, you know? So to jump, I think some of this is going to have to be gradual. But I was just thinking it from the perspective of like, how does the NBA work? We're going to talk about this Jonathan Kuminga thing. You know, maybe you do something where every rookie that you sign is a 3-year deal, and then you have that fourth year to just re-up them. You have the option on the fourth year, and then they're not actually a free agent until after the fourth year. You could do stuff like that.
I think that's already there. but it's team option instead of player option, or not
well,
player,
yeah.
or not player option, but restricted.
But
it's like a team, yeah.
But the core thing reminds me a little bit of the NFL franchise tag.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And the NFL owners like that because it gives them flexibility to force players to. It's almost like a threat. It's like, well, if we can't come to agreement, we will slap the franchise tag on you. And so it's kind of a negative thing. And in the WNBA, when everybody's making around the same money, coring doesn't seem like it's as big of a deal, but as you increase the salaries, and if there is a difference between how much money Asia Wilson makes and how much money maybe the 12th person in the league makes, like if there's a big time difference, then maybe that coring stuff is used a little bit more as a weapon like they do in the NFL. But I don't even want to try and speak intelligently on it because I don't really know the reason why it exists and how they currently use it today.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, right? It's not great for the players, especially like we see like the injuries going up. You know, like imagine I know Ari McDonald isn't maybe at the status that would give you like that core option because I think it usually goes to like, you know, just who the best players are. I think it's like you could do it twice and then you could never do it again for the rest of their career, regardless of what team they're on. But you know, like the Aaron McDonald example, it's like, of course you don't like it because you get cored for 1 year and then you're out with an ACL tear. It's like, well, then you're a free agent with no money. Like you want those years, you want the guaranteed, you want, you know, that multi-year contract instead of just a 1 year max, even though the max is nice, you know, you get 1 year max because of a core, but it's just 1 year. You want that multi-year because it's consistent.
Yeah.
Legendary doesn't happen by chance. It happens because it's what BetMGM does. Sign up for BetMGM and check out all the exciting new ways you can make this pro football season unforgettable. Shoot your shot with same-game parlays. Call your plays like a pro with live betting. Or bet on a market you didn't know existed thanks to BetMGM Originals. You'll be on the edge of your seat from the very first snap, no matter what type of fan you are. Earn BetMGM rewards points on every bet. Take advantage of football offers found nowhere else, like a second chance on a first touchdown bet. And keep an eye out for rewards dropping in your account throughout the season. Never settle for the ordinary. Sign up today. BetMGM. Make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Specific promotional offers are not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text OPENY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Did you see the Jess Smith note that more than 90% of season ticket holders are recommitting for 2026?
Yeah, they probably made some good money towards the end of the year there if they were selling, because I noticed ticket prices went up.
Well, that's what I was about to say. I think it's going to be a little tough for us next year, or actually it'll be a little even tougher. Though I will say, you and I were looking at tickets for that playoff game. And I'm not sure this is the case, but it seems like it's the case, which is because the playoff game was on a weekday, the tickets weren't outrageous. But on the weekend, it seemed like the tickets were kind of outrageous.
Yeah, that follows suit with the NBA, you know, with the Warriors in my experience. But Yeah, I got $30 tickets to go see the Washington Mystic, like at like the second game of the season, and it was just like really, really good seats. And I think those were basically doubled by the end of the year, mm-hmm. even maybe on a weekday.
Remember when we went, the guy sitting to our right, he asked us where we got the tickets, and you told him, and he's like, yeah, it's like been a different person sitting next to him like every game.
Because yeah, maybe I shouldn't have told him.
Because
he wanted to buy him up because, yeah, he was a season ticket holder and he had never met the other season ticket holder because that person was selling every single game.
Yeah.
And he's like, he asked us, are you the season ticket holders? And we're like, no, we're not. He wanted to buy him up for like his friends so he could bring them. And I told him exactly where to find the guy.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the WNBA playoffs here. So we are in the semifinals here, and we have the Las Vegas Aces, and they are playing Indiana in round one, or round two, and Minnesota is playing Phoenix in round two. Now, both of these series are split 1-1. Phoenix comes out in game one, and they're playing really close, but then Minnesota pulls away. And then Phoenix wins game two. And on the flip side, Indiana comes out and just rocks Vegas. And then in game two, Vegas kind of shows their stuff and pulls away. So I would kind of expect, even though the matchup seems to be a little bit closer in Minnesota and Phoenix, I would just expect Minnesota to eventually take care of business. But the Las Vegas-Indiana one is so interesting because it seems to be, if Kelsey Mitchell can get on a heater, like she's almost unguardable and teams are having so much trouble with her. But do you still believe we're getting Minnesota Vegas?
I do. And I wasn't able to watch either game last night. I was like out somewhere. And so I was kind of looking at it on the TV where we were eating. But I watched a little bit of it last night. And I'd heard that there was a point where Minnesota was up 20 and Phoenix came back, sent it to OT and won. That's crazy. Because when I had seen that it was up 20, I was about to call for the sweep. I was like, I thought this matchup was going to be closer than it was because, you know, Phoenix on paper has some stuff. They figured out some things against the New York Liberty. But I even on the No Offseason podcast, they said it, and it feels like kind of just Satu is just the consistent X factor. Like depending on how she plays is what is going to happen in the result of the win or loss. If she plays bad, they lose. If she plays good, they win. On the Indiana Vegas side, someone had said on Twitter that I read, I think one of the Valkyries Twitter accounts had asked, like, can someone from Indiana tell me why, like what's happening and why this is working? And someone responded and said, think of it like your team, but like we have two all W players, mm-hmm. you know, like you kind of like that togetherness, that like the egos aside, playing with heart, you know, like all the extra effort stuff. Mm-hmm. But we have Kelsey Mitchell and Aaliyah Boston. And I was like, okay, I get it. You know, kind of like when it's like when you're watching like the Miami Heat when they went all the way to the finals, like how the hell do they keep doing this? And then the ongoing meme was, it's just the power of friendship. that's how they keep winning these matchups that they were supposed to get killed on paper. I still think Las Vegas is going to win. I think Vegas is a, of course, well-coached team. So I think that they won't allow that stuff to happen. I get, maybe Indiana gets another game. You know, they can, that fan base, I've always said that Golden State, Indiana, and I believe Minnesota are kind of like the top three, maybe New York as well. I'm not sure, but I wonder how Vegas will react to, I'm sure, Indiana filling out that stadium. I guess maybe it's just dependent on how game three will go. Well, I still think Las Vegas will win, but if Indiana wins game three.
Are they home? Is that game in Indiana?
I think the format's one. It's 2-2-1.
Yeah, I think so too.
That would be my guess. But it just wouldn't entirely shock me if Vegas lost game three. I think it would shock me if it was a blowout like it was in game one. But you never know. So I'll go with the winners. I think last podcast I went with the winner with the higher seeded teams as well, and that looked good. Until Atlanta just blew it. That was a rough watch to end the game. They were so stagnant and couldn't hit any shots. And then Indiana was able to go on like this crazy run. But other than that, all the other top seeds won.
I mean, if you are going to win the series as the lower seed, splitting at the home team's arena is the way to do it, because then you have an opportunity to come home and close it out. Like, if Indiana just is a great home team and wins these two games, then Vegas is done. Like, it doesn't even matter. You can't even go back. So now it's Vegas's turn to take back home court by winning one of these two games. If you're a Fever fan, aren't you just like of all the times for Caitlin to be hurt for this long period of time, like, just the idea, like, this is your vision is for this exactly to happen this year, but you had Caitlin playing and helping you get there, and she's not there right now. So it's kind of crazy that they're still there and they're playing so well, and it's without Caitlin, and she's been a, from what I can tell, a great teammate, and they're super superstitious about wearing the same shoes and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It's really cool to see. And I guess if you're Indiana, and I'm already sort of predicting next year's power polls, but to see them get where they are right now, and then you add last year's rookie of the year who had like this historic rookie season, you got to put them right back up at the top on that side.
I mean, they should be like what the barometer for the Valks are, in the sense that they went to the playoffs for the first time since like 2016 or something like that. Last year with Caitlin, they lose to Connecticut in the first round. And this year they come back somehow without Caitlin and somehow get to the second round, right? That's an improvement. So the Valkyries did it this year. They got to the playoffs in round one.
And this is after Dawana Bonner said, peace out, I'm good.
And both teams are doing great for themselves.
So Asia Wilson won her fourth MVP. She kind of, like, I thought it was going to be closer with Nafisa Collier coming in second. But so she's just dominance. She's established. And if I'm Nafisa Collier, not that it probably matters as much, but I'm just kind of putting that one in the back of my mind as we play, because it's an opportunity to prove that maybe you were the best player in the league, you know, instead. So that'll be a fun thing if they actually do face off against each other.
I don't think she plays victim card, but like, if I'm her, I'd kind of be like, what the hell else do I do? I got the one seed and I was the second player in WNBA history to average 50, 40, 90 on a season. And the first one got the MVP. Like, what the hell else was I supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm with you. I think that might be a tuck in her back pocket if she plays Las Vegas. And then
the last thing before we start talking Warriors, two teams that made the playoffs fired their head coaches, Noel Quinn from Seattle, and the one that I think surprised everybody was Sandy Brondello out of New York, 1 year after winning the WNBA championship. I think these teams are, these owners are really looking at the future of the WNBA and wanting to make sure that they're taking this stuff seriously. Because you would hear stories of how, you know, the WNBA is a tax write-off for some of these owners and they're not taking it too seriously. But now that there's money in this league, I think they are taking it very seriously. Not that these owners are necessarily always smart about stuff, but you can sort of see they're trying to get their ducks in a row. But I was so surprised that Brondello was let go. But I guess she didn't even really have any, like, she didn't have a contract after this or something. Like, there was something around that.
Yeah, I haven't seen stories on like the inside of it and like what happened. Someone in our Discord chat, right, had said that she kind of had something with like maybe ownership or when she was the coach of Phoenix and like a similar situation happened.
Yeah, our guy Jay Mess thought it might have been like a personality thing because she was in Phoenix and then was let go, which was also a surprise. So he wonders if it's just maybe she's tough to. You know, we see this in pro sports a lot. Like, you have the coach that's there for like 5 years and it's really hard. And maybe by 5 years after that, the message isn't as easy to get through to some of the players. You know, I was actually thinking about this because I'm watching the Court of Gold documentary or the docuseries on Netflix. I never got through it, but it covers last year's Team USA gold medal team. And I'm watching Steve Kerr. And I see him talking to certain players. And, you know, Steve Kerr's a storyteller. Historically, sometimes guys just kind of glaze their eyes over, and sometimes people really enjoy it. Like KD, in some senses, has given Kerr a lot of credit for really understanding who he is as a person. And he's talking to Anthony Edwards, and I'm watching Anthony Edwards do the stuff that you kind of just do to people to kind of make sure that okay, got it. Yep, got it. I'm in. And just so they get away and you can go do the thing that you want to do. And I was watching Kerr doing that and going like, man, you know, if you think about it, Steve Kerr has been with the Warriors since 2015. And he's relating to Steph and Draymond because they're all kind of wired the same way and they're locked in. But I wonder if, like, you know, he's talking to a younger player like Brandon Pajemski, like, and he's trying to tell his old stories of Michael Jordan and this and that. And Pods is just like, yeah, this is a great story, coach. Or if he's like actively listening, like, this is real wisdom. This is like, I wonder how hard it is to coach some of these young players.
Yeah, crazy to think, like, what? How old was Anthony Edwards when Steve Kerr took over the Warriors
as a head coach? Probably like in junior high 11. School or something. Yeah.
So yeah, that's maybe even younger. But yeah, well, right. I mean, with the Brondello thing though, is that I think most Valkyries fans, when they first saw the news, were like, "Oh, is Sabrina a little upset about this? She's going to be a free agent. Like, I wonder if Sabrina comes to
or Golden maybe State. They did it because Sabrina's a free agent."
That was a thought that went through my mind as well. I've seen some reports that they're kind of looking for a NBA replacement coach. That's a report out there that they may be looking in the NBA to get their head coach. And, you know, Josai and his wife own the team. They obviously own the Brooklyn Nets as well. So they kind of have those NBA connections. And then I heard some Brondello to Seattle news to replace Noel Quinn. So yeah, we'll see how this shakes up. But, I don't think that Sabrina's coming, but if she wanted to use, you know, a reason in the media to come, they'd be like, they got rid of my head coach and I really liked her.
Mm-hmm. All right. That will end our Valkyries conversation. And let's talk some Golden State Warriors.
Warriors.
We have to talk about it. It is still the biggest news. I had hoped that it wasn't going to last this long as a story in the media. Jonathan Kuminga, when have you seen the agent really like take control and be proactive in getting the media and talking about the scenario? It sounds like he wanted to do it because he wanted to dispel some of the rumors that maybe JK was anti Warriors or anti Steve Kerr or something. Like, he's like, no, he's locked in. Why wouldn't he be a great player? He's in the best shape of his life, X, Y, and Z. It seemed like that's why he wanted to go out there. But JK himself is not talking. And they've made this story like the biggest story in the NBA. Like, this is the topic of conversation in the NBA, it seems. Jonathan Kuminga, of all people, who has averaged in his career 12 points a game, is the biggest topic. So we talked about this deadline coming up on October 1st. We made some predictions a while back. My prediction was that they would come to some sort of contract agreement. The Warriors have jumped the money up. It is now a 2-for-48 with the third year option, but that option being the team option. And that seems to be the difference in the deal. It looks like the money is right and they like the money, but it looks like that team option versus player option is the thing that is stopping Team Kuminga from signing the contract with the Warriors. What do you think about that part of the whole negotiation?
I think it's just gone on for so long that, like, at this point we're so close to October 1st that neither party kind of wants to cave. And I think that JK is going to sign that offer. I think it's going to have a team option at this point, because like, you keep thinking about the qualifying offer and, you know, what it entails. It's bad for the Warriors, but just, you know, it's like they don't have to play him if he's on it. And it's not like it wouldn't be out of spite. It's like Kerr already doesn't really play him. So like Kerr's going to do what he needs, what he thinks is best to win. And I think what he thinks is best to win involves 15 minutes a game of JK and not 28 to, you know, get to maybe up his value. So I think he does sign the team option. And I think it would be a loss for the Warriors, like big time, if he doesn't, if they cave for the player option or if he signs the qualifying offer. Because at this point, they've just invested the entire offseason into this. And you have, you know, all these free agents that have just been like kind of knocking at the door like, hey, are we still good?
Yeah.
So I think it would be.
But that's the other thing, right? Is once this time frame hits, they may just bring all of those players in, and then, you know, and then I'm sure they'll have to create whatever that slot is for what they think they're going to be able to sign him for. But then that locks, then that doesn't allow for as much negotiation. So he gets locked into whatever that slot is. You know, the thing that I find to be, you know, the game of chicken here is this team option versus player option. I have a sense that the Warriors are trading him anyways. Like, they're going to sign him to this 3-year deal with the option, with the idea that they trade him sometime in January or whatever. But the reason why they want the team option is because that increases the value of the trade. And the reason why they don't want that option is because then he could be locked into a franchise that he doesn't want to be there. But without that option, if he gets the player option, then the value across the league is less. And then they probably will try and get him on the cheap. And that's not great for the Warriors. But it's not like JK can refuse where he goes. The second that qualifying offer is off the table, he can be traded anywhere. So they are kind of at the mercy of the Warriors in that sense. And I don't know if that qualifying offer threat, like, I don't know if Joe Lacob is going to blink. Joe Lacob might just, Joe Lacob seems like a poker player to me. And it almost seems like this agent of Kuminga's is like, let's use this as the leverage that we have. But I think, like you just said, I think Kuminga is going to give in at the end, because whether or not the agent says that they're willing to sign this thing, that's the agent. And the agent gets a piece of this deal. Obviously, he wants the bigger money, of course, because he gets more. But it's not his career. Like, it's JK's career. And I think Lacob is going to bring him in, and he's going to go, we're at the last hour here. Son, you need to do this. This is going to be better for your career. And because he's going to say, you know, look, this you signed this thing, and tomorrow isn't promised. At least if you sign this deal, no matter if you sign with the player option or the team option, tomorrow is promised, and you have actually made a lot of money for your NBA career off of this deal. So that should be the best thing. And then, yeah, we're going to trade you. We will try and send you somewhere where you like. But if you fight us on this thing, then maybe we won't. Maybe we won't look into it that much for your well-being. So there's lots of poker going on. It's fascinating to think about. I just can't believe it is for the player of Jonathan Kuminga, who he's had flashes, right? He's had flashes of really strong play. But his history with the Warriors is going to be what he could have been rather than what he was.
Yeah, and I was listening to Plus Minus, where it was TK and Danny Emmerman from The Standard. I think it was like a week or two ago. And they, you know, it's more so like they were on the idea, like, it's not really like Kuminga. It is Kuminga, but it's the Warriors. That's why this is such a big deal. It's because the Warriors have made national headlines for this league since 2015.
And also nothing else is going on.
Yeah, like, I don't hear anything about Quentin Grimes. Same situation, you know. like Cam Thomas signed the qualifying offer. you know, didn't really hear much about that. Giddy got his, didn't really hear much about that. But yeah, it's the Warriors, and it probably is like a little bit of, you know, Kuminga putting out that story to Shams when they lost to Denver, that he was unhappy with his playing time. And like, I think it's just all of it culminating, but it's also just because it's the Warriors.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So you have a guess?
Yeah, I think he signs it. I think he does.
The contract as it is right now, at the end of the day, that's the one that he signs.
I think he does.
I think I agree with you. And then they try and trade him in like February.
Yeah. Yeah. And they better. I mean, it's so many things can happen from now till February. Like, you can't even confidently say who the target would be, because who would have thought Jimmy Butler would be on this team for the price we got him at this time last year?
What do you think of Jimmy Butler's little mini camp that he has going on? That Jake,
was that him who led it?
I think it was Jimmy's.
He's so cool.
But yeah, supposedly he was not present, according to Shams. He was not present at Jimmy Butler's mini camp. I think it's in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
So not making friends, JK. Not making friends. Man, who knows? Maybe he
I think those
Jimmy vets beforehand. He's like, hey man, I got something else going on.
Not that I got something else going on. It's like, hey, I gotta. If he goes, I mean, he kind of.
You think it's a leverage thing? He loses.
I think it would be. Yeah, totally.
Joe's like, we got him. Thanks, Jimmy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's probably smart to not go for sure. All right. So this is something that I wanted to have fun with. It's not really newsworthy in any way, but Tim Bontemps, he had an insider poll, and I'll go through all the questions with you. And just interested in your thoughts to the answer of all of these questions. One of them has a heavy Steph Curry influence, which is why I'm bringing it up. But so Tim, he talked to about 20 or so insiders. I think some of these are coaches and scouts and some executives, and just polled them. And I'll ask you these questions, and I have his answers here. Who will be the MVP of this upcoming season?
Oh, man. What? I wasn't even prepared for that. I haven't really thought about it. I'm going to go Luka.
I thought Shea would be the one, but instead, 7 out of the 20 picked Jokic.
Giannis?
No, they picked Jokic. Then Shea was second, Luka was third. Wembanyama was fourth. Giannis and Anthony Edwards only got one vote each.
But that's surprising considering the talent on the East. Like, I don't know why Giannis wouldn't be a top three odds. But I know this isn't odds, it's just random polling.
Who is the best player right now?
Jokic.
Jokic got 19 out of the 20.
And the one was Shea?
The one had to be someone from the Lakers who he's talking to, because the one was Luka. Who will be the best player in 2030?
Yeah, Wembanyama. That should be unanimous.
He got 16 out of the 20. Luka got 2. Shea got 1. Jason Tatum got 1.
Who the hell voted for Tatum, man?
A Western Conference assistant said, there's no one that has his shot profile. He's what everyone wishes they have. A 6'10" guy who shoots threes, gets to the rim, and gets fouled.
Would rather have Wembanyama right now than Jason Tatum. And I know Jason Tatum is better right now, but you talk about 2030, man. What is this guy?
Are you worried about Wembanyama's health, though?
It's no. Like, no. No.
By the way, there's all the coverage of skinny Luka, and I've heard of skinny Embiid as well, but I saw a picture today of the skinniest Zion you ever saw in your life.
I feel like there's maybe a little bit of an angle going on with that specific photo. Like, there's just no way. Like, he looks malnourished.
Yeah, I've seen some pretty mean jokes. I've seen lots of Ozempic jokes as well, but some other mean ones.
Hey, good for him, though. Like, if he... You know, I do genuinely believe that's an angle. I feel like I saw a video of him and he kind of still not that he's never looked overweight to me. That guy's just super jacked. Like, he has muscles on his muscles. But I know for NBA shape, you're going to want to slim down a little bit for that. But it, you know, if he wants to be a little bit of that Duke Zion, that the high school mixtape that we watched for the longest time before he got to the league, this is the right step for that.
Mm-hmm. All right, who is the best American player right now?
It's probably Tatum.
Okay, Tatum didn't even get a vote here.
So Tatum is going to be the best in 2030. He got MVP votes, but that same Western Conference executive or assistant did not put Tatum as the best American player. So it's Steph.
Steph got 11. Anthony Edwards got 8. Spider Mitchell got 1.
Dude, I don't know who Bontemps is interviewing. Not that these guys aren't good players, but like it just, the logic's not logicking.
Who will be the best American player in 5 years?
I wonder if Cooper Flagg got a vote.
Cooper Flagg got 5 votes.
So Anthony Edwards,
he got 11. Tatum got 2. Paolo got 1. Jalen Williams got 1.
Wow.
Jalen Williams over Ant-Man for best American player in 5 years. That's an interesting
one. It's not, there's no logic. There's also, you know, a couple players in this upcoming draft. Oh man, I'm forgetting. It was for the longest time, it was AJ DeBonsta. I think I texted you like 4 years ago. I was like, this guy is the same age as the twins. And he was like in eighth grade when I sent you that text. And he was like playing summer runs with Jaylen Brown and like doing well. I was like, this guy's the future. I wouldn't have been shocked if he got like a vote.
So who will be rookie of the year?
Yeah, come on.
He got 19. Can you guess who got 1 vote?
Ace Bailey.
Con Knipple. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Con Knipple.
Con Knipple. All right. Who will be the
Hanson Yang? Yang Hanson.
Who will be the best player from this draft class in 5 years?
Come on. Next question.
Cooper. But who do you think also got votes?
I'm sure Dylan got votes.
So Dylan Harper got 1.
Did Ace Bailey even get a vote? I feel like he's kind of like the archetype that might be a little risky for voters. Just like a scoring wing.
Yeah, Ace Bailey.
Did he get a vote? I'm asking.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
He was the other one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. Where will LeBron James be at the start of the 26-27 season? Retired came in second place on this one, by the way.
Cleveland number 1.
Lakers number 1. Cleveland number 3. Warriors number 4.
Yeah, I would agree with. No, I don't know if I'd agree with Lakers 1. It just doesn't feel like the clutch MO to like not have control.
Mavericks and Heat also got 1 each. Mavericks is interesting. Luka's old home. LeBron's going to go save the franchise. LeBron and Cooper Flagg. All right. That was it. I just thought that was a fun exercise because when I was looking at that, I was like, man, my NBA brain is not primed yet because I was really having to think at some of these things. What are going to be the main stories? And, you know, we're very focused on the Warriors. So, but yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, Cooper Flagg's going to play this year. We're going to get to see him play. And yeah, Victor's going to be back. We'll get to see Victor play again. So that was fun. All right. So the Warriors, their first preseason game is in less than 2 weeks. That's kind of crazy. October the 5th is their first preseason game against the Lakers. Preseason is coming. Media day is soon. Training camp is soon. This Kuminga thing hopefully will be resolved or at least somewhat resolved. Hopefully we'll be able to see what Al Horford looks like in a Warriors jersey. We'll get to see Steph and Seth take photos of like when they were little kids. They should like redo some of those photos in their Warriors uniforms. Who else is coming? I guess GP. We believe GP, D'Anthony Melton. Who else? Is that all that's been rumored?
I think that's the 4.
Okay, so I think that's a top 5 West team as of today. I don't think anything better, though.
Yep, I agree. And I think we just look if Dunleavy has another...
The Kuminga.
Another trick up his sleeve come January. Yeah, that would obviously...
The Kuminga thing. Like, that's the
biggest... Yeah.
And so then here's the trick. Hey, Steve, We need to get some good Kuminga minutes here, because these teams, we need them to add in a little bit extra. That's going to be part of that conversation too. If Kuminga's sitting on the bench getting DNPs, that's not going to be good for his trade value.
Yep, I agree. And then Steve can look at it from like, okay, this, you know, this might not be my ideal version of trying to win, but if I look long term here, you know, if I up his value and we get something good in return, that could be better for winning.
I think they should play him a lot early in the season, and unless he's just terrible, obviously, but I don't think he's going to be terrible. Mm-hmm. I think they'll still be able to win some of these games if he's like the sixth or the seventh guy.
Do you think they'll match him with the Steph minutes, or do you think, I think it's between him or Draymond when you start breaking down like the lineup combinations, like who mm-hmm. gets put in the Steph minutes? Is it going to be Kuminga or Draymond? And then the Jimmy minutes would be the whoever else,
Kuminga or Draymond minutes are going to be who Steph wants them to be. And I think he's going to want them to be Draymond.
But I just feel like they always make the Steph lineups like not as good, right?
I was thinking more crunch time, but you're just talking about more normal substitution patterns.
Yeah.
I think they're also going to be a little bit better with the older players and how they rest them. So you may see JK get 35 minutes in one game because Draymond is sitting, or he'll get another 30 minutes because Steph is sitting. So there will be opportunities for him to play lots of minutes. I just don't think the tick, as you guys call it, as you young kids call it, will be very consistent from game to game, because if they have a full squad, then he just moves back a couple of spots.
I agree.
All right. That is it from here. We'll be back next week, and hopefully we'll have some sort of resolution to talk about, and we'll maybe we'll know who's, I think we should know who's in the WNBA finals by next week. So, all right. For Bri, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.